This is the Barry Richards Show, WBSM On Demand.
App.
Without further ado,
WBSM presents The Barry Richards Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Text us using app chat on the WBSM app. Now, The Barry Richards Show.
Welcome back to the program. 7 minutes after 1 o'clock right now on a Monday afternoon. 508-996-0500 is the number. Thank you for joining us, spending some of your lunch time with us. And apparently police in New York say they're waiting for an invitation to go in and clean out the Columbia University campus of protesters. Classes in person were canceled today due to fear of, fears for the safety of Jewish students on campus. Can you imagine that? This is America in 2024. Jewish Americans cannot walk safely. We have to cancel their classes and hide them away. The Orthodox rabbi at Columbia University told Jewish kids to leave campus and go home for their own safety. This is America. This is 2024. And Jim McGovern and Ayanna Pressley didn't vote for the aid package for Ukraine over the weekend because it also contained money for Israel. And God forbid that we help Israel that has been attacked by terrorists, right? And also attacked with more than 300 missiles and drones and everything else by Iran, right? But God forbid we include any money for that. It's the Democrats, folks. You know, for years we've been told, look at those skinheads, look at those white supremacist MAGA people, and Trump, all of the anti-Semitism these people are spewing. There's an increase in anti-Semitism all over the country, and it's all because of those Trump MAGA people, those toothless goobers that wear their red MAGA hats, and they come out and they support Trump because they're too stupid, they're deplorables, they're all of this kind of... Well, gee, guess who the anti-Semites really are? And they're exposing themselves wide open for you. Yeah, that's right, folks. Same gang of pudding heads that brought you the KKK and fought against the end of slavery and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, those people, those guys and gals, the Democrat Party of the United States of America. Yeah, they're your anti-Semites. They're the ones that are threatening Jewish students. And Jewish people in general are friends. You know, they're carrying signs and chanting stuff like kill another Israeli soldier and all this kind of stuff. They didn't even hide it anymore. And you got Jim McGovern, and Jim McGovern is a radical screwball that used to represent the Fall River area in Congress. They kind of moved him out to the Worcester area now. And he's not necessarily our problem, although he is. He still represents Massachusetts. So a lot of other stuff I want to get to today. But in the meantime, we've got a couple of folks that have been hanging on. Let me grab a call or two, and then I got some other stuff I want to toss on the table. So let's start right here. Thanks for hanging on. Your first this hour on WBS.
Good afternoon, Barry. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
We're back to winter again, you know?
A little bit.
Warm up. Yeah, frost warning. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
As far as $96 billion, I mean, they keep borrowing. We don't have this money. We're borrowing it from the IMF. And then we're wondering why Bill O'Reilly keeps talking about you paying more money at the supermarket because your dollar's being devalued. And we're going to pay more and more because of the hyperinflation, all of this that they're creating. I call them the Uniparty because there's no difference between Republicans and Democrats when it comes to fiscal irresponsibility. But the point I want to bring up is this whole thing Maury Healey's trying to pass, what she's a proponent of, and some of the Democrats up there on Beacon Hill regarding the tolls on bordering states.
Yeah.
You know, Rhode Island, the state legislature there, some have come out and said, I think it's, is it Nigerio, the president there in Rhode Island of, he's the president, I believe, of the assembly there in Rhode Island.
Okay, yeah, General Assembly.
When he was asked, he brought up this morning that if that happens, that they would probably pass a retaliatory toll on those coming into the state of Rhode Island if Massachusetts decides to go that route, maybe on commercial, but it all depends on what comes out of the state house here in Boston. So it's not gonna help anybody. It's gonna be lose-lose.
No, the other states are also equally upset. New Hampshire and some of the other states are just as angry as Rhode Island is at this. Look, why don't they, rather than thinking of new ways to generate money from our pockets, why don't they just cut spending? Why don't they just reduce spending? By the way, Maura Healey's leaving the state again. Have you heard about this one?
No.
You
know, where's she going now, Bermuda?
You ready for this one? No, she's going to the Vatican. Okay, she's
really?
Going to the Vatican because the Pope is having a special summit on climate change.
Really?
So Maura Healey, who is a married lesbian, is going to sit with the Pope in the Vatican. And
is
talk
she a
about-
Catholic? Is she a Catholic, Barry?
I don't know what the hell she is.
Is she going to kiss the ring of the Pope?
I don't know what she's going to do. But, you know, this goes to show you the entire world is falling apart. The Pope is welcoming a married lesbian governor from Massachusetts to go sit with him to talk about climate change at the Vatican. And you're going to pay for this, by the way. And Michelle Wu from Boston is going with her. The mayor of Boston is going with her.
Now, let me ask you, Barry. Is she going to swim over the Atlantic?
Ooh.
Because, you know, you can't take a plane and you can't take a boat, you know, fossil fuels.
Oh, is she going to be on a sail? You don't think she's going to fly commercial, do you? Or economy?
What about a sailboat, you know, like a frigate, you know?
Oh, God. Maybe John Kerry can give him a ride over in his sailboat.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, this is what happens when you vote for Democrats.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It is. You can't make this up, Barry.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. 508-996-0500. I had that in my list here. Let me just grab it out now since I already threw it out there. Maura Healey is going to be. And look, I don't care about sexuality. That doesn't bother me at all. I mean, if Maura Healey is a lesbian and she's married to another woman, that's her business. I'm not casting judgment on her over that. But what does this tell you about the state of the Catholic Church? You know, where you got a president of the United States that openly supports abortion until birth and so on and so forth, and running his entire campaign on abortion. Hey, Pope, nothing from the Pope. And so now the Pope is going to invite or has invited Maura Healey to the Vatican to sit with them to talk about climate change. Because we don't have any other problems in the world right now with morality or with anything going on. So sit and have a 3-day summit on climate change. And by the way, I'm not the only one that has a little bit of an issue with this. And I'm not a Catholic, so Catholics can do what they want. But Bishop William F. Medley of Owensboro, Kentucky, is reporting growing frustration with Pope Francis among the faithful in his diocese over the Pope's teachings. It's a bishop in Kentucky, William Medley. At each of the 5 listening sessions, frustration was expressed about the lack of clarity from church leadership, citing especially Pope Francis. Bishop Medley said in his synthesis report this month, following a synodal meeting held during the month of March, Pope Francis was described as being ambiguous in his teaching and in his casual remarks, the bishop wrote. A plea was made for the Holy Father to be direct and tell us what you actually mean. According to the report, much of the confusion and consternation relates to the Vatican's December 18th declaration, which lifted the church's ban on offering blessings to same-sex couples, since it was, quote, perceived to be an approval for the blessing of same-sex unions. A lack of clear statements from those in positions of authority in the church leaves people feeling confused and afraid, one priest reportedly said during the listening sessions, which were attended by 153 active members of that diocese. In his summary, Bishop Medley wrote that there is a, quote, universal hunger among the faithful for greater clarity from church leaders on church teachings. Now, again, I don't give a tinker's damn about whether Moore Healy is involved in a same-sex marriage or not. That's her business. I really don't care. I got enough of my own problems to worry about than to worry about somebody else's sexuality or who they're married to. It really doesn't bother me. But it does, again, it's just one more contradiction. One more contradiction of a faithful. And it's not just me. I'm pointing out, there's a bishop in Kentucky pointing it out, that his parishioners, people in his bishopdom, or whatever you call it, his diocese, I guess, are having some really tough problems trying to understand what exactly it is the Pope is standing for and what he's teaching here. But anyway, Maura Healey and Boston Mayor Michelle Wu will lead a delegation in May to the Vatican, where they will speak to an International Climate Resilience Conference presided over by Pope Francis. Healey will discuss, quote, governing in the age of climate change. And Wu will talk about governance, health, and energy at the Vatican Climate Summit. The event is organized by the Pontifical Academy of Sciences and the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences, under the leadership of University of Massachusetts Boston Chancellor Marcelo Suarez Orozco and Ramanathan, a renowned researcher who discovered the greenhouse gas effect of halocarbons in the 1970s. Climate Chief Melissa Hoffer is also scheduled to speak at the summit. Massachusetts is a global leader in the fight against climate change and the transition to a clean energy economy, and that's in large part thanks to our innovative elected leaders in universities like UMass Boston, said Healey. This is a global problem that cannot be solved by any one nation alone, and we look forward to collaborating with the mayors, governors, academic institutions, and scientists on solutions at that summit. We are deeply grateful for His Holiness Pope Francis for hosting this important gathering and for his leadership in bringing people together to address climate change. The conference is scheduled for May 15 through 17. The details of the governor's trip are still being finalized, but Healey will be focused on strengthening diplomatic and economic relations while there, according to her office. You know, not for nothing, if Maura Healey wants to deal with climate change, get the hell out of the corner office of the State House and go and deal with climate change. She can run around with the Pope all day if she wants to. And, you know, I said this about Mayor Mitchell last week or the week before, when the mayor took 4 days off and went to Israel to consult with members of the Israeli government and folks, I guess, from Gaza about the war going on over there. Get in your lane. That's not your business. That's not what we elect you for. I mean, if you want to deal with Gaza, then resign the office of mayor, let the city council president be acting mayor, have a new election, and we'll elect a new mayor. Then you can go over there and, you know, you'll have all my respect. Go over there and solve the world's problems. But while you are a mayor, stay here. Deal with the homeless problem that we have downtown. Deal with the high rents. Deal with all the issues that are facing the city. The budget, the high property taxes, everything else. That's what you're elected for. That's the lane that you're supposed to be traveling in. Yeah, the 4 days in that's not your lane. That's not your job, not your responsibility. Same thing with Maura Healey. Stay the hell in Massachusetts. We need a leash for this woman. She's always on the prowl somewhere else. There's always greener pastures. You know, it's like when she was attorney general and she was supposed to be, you know, taking care of companies that were screwing you over on the local level of prosecuting, bad guys. Where was she? She was in Washington filing lawsuits against Trump, but she was in Tijuana inviting illegal immigrants to Massachusetts. And I mean, you know, stay in your lane. Do the job that you're being paid for. You're not being paid to go have a 4-day summit with the Pope on climate change. That's not our business. It's not your business. That's not what we elected you for. If you want to go off and be a climate activist, then do so. But leave the office of governor to somebody who really wants it. You know, it's not as though we don't have enough problems here at home in Massachusetts, right? Hello? Last I checked, we've got serious problems in Massachusetts, including a big budget. And you haven't even heard the last of it. Where do you hear? I'm going to tell you after the break. I got to get the break in. But today, Karen Spilka, who is the president of the Massachusetts Senate, delivered a speech in Boston. Wait till you hear what she wants to spend money on. Your money. Stay tuned. I'll fill you in next right here on WBSM. Don't go far. The break is coming up. And then your call. Welcome back to the program. It is 1:26 now. It is a Monday afternoon. Nice day in progress out there. A little bit chilly for my liking, but we're getting there day by day. They're saying this is going to be a very, very hot summer. We're supposed to be above average for the entire summer. But, you know, I never go along with that because they told us we were going to have the snowiest winter that we had in forever. And it never happened. Right? We had a couple of little snowstorms, so nothing too bad. So we'll just have to see how it plays out. But that's the word anyway from the National Weather Service. I guess it's supposed to be one of the hottest. I guess we're going to go from an El Nino into a La Nina, like instantaneously, overnight. Remember when you were a kid growing up, we never had El Ninos and La Ninas. That weather phenomenon that either I guess they just began to understand or they make these things up too, I think. No, I'm only kidding. But all right, just before the break, you know, I'm telling you about Maura Healey going off, spending your money to go to, you know, in the meantime, so we're paying her salary to be governor and she's going to go to the Vatican for a 4-day climate change summit with the Pope. And that's not, or we can we dock her pay while she's doing that? Can we hold her money back for that period since she's not doing her job that day? And that's right in the middle of budget season too, by the way. It's not a good time to go away, especially when we have all the crises in Massachusetts that we're experiencing right now. But, you know, so talking about wasting money in Massachusetts, because that's all we do here. And nobody thinks about, boy, I was talking to some young people over the weekend who just can't wait to get the hell out of here. It's beginning to sink in that they are never going to be able to buy houses here. Never. And the political climate is just something they just no longer want to deal with. And they're looking elsewhere. So it's sad for us. Sad for us. It's sad for those who are going to remain behind. Because for every person who earns a good living, that works hard, that leaves Massachusetts, takes their money with them, they're being replaced by two illegal immigrants. That's the truth. They're being replaced by two illegal immigrants who are coming here and bringing nothing to the table. Even those who work, their earning potential is only a fraction of that of the people who are leaving. So guess who's going to pick up the load? Anybody who stays behind and works, particularly if you have a small business. It's going to be on you to pick up the load. And these crooks in Boston will not reduce spending. They won't reduce spending. They keep coming up with bigger and bigger plans to spend more money. Listen to this, for example. I teased this before the break. The Senate President, Karen Spilka. She looks like a Karen, too. You ever? I don't like to pick on people's looks, but I mean, she looks like a... You look at this woman, right? You look at Karen Spilka. Look her up online. And immediately you're going to say, yeah, she's a Karen. There's no question about it. She is a Karen. She was born for her name. Anyway, Karen Spilka, who's the president of the Massachusetts Senate, addressed the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce Government Affairs Forum this morning. Why don't they come down and speak to the New Bedford Forum so we can go and we can you know, have a little interchange with these people? No, they always stay up there in Boston. But anyway, Karen Spilka addressed the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce Government Affairs Forum this morning. You want to know what she said? She outlined a plan to make community college free to all students. We're already doing this now for some 25 and older. You're going to get a couple of years of community college if you're 25 and older and you qualify. Karen Spilka wants to make community college free to everybody. She's postulating that this move can help the state bolster its workforce an attempt to train the next generation of young people so they can remain in Massachusetts. That's a noble gesture considering the workforce shortage we have here that's getting worse every day because people like the ones I just mentioned are leaving, and increasingly unsustainable cost of living in Massachusetts. It is outrageous and getting worse by the day. Young people are fleeing. People with money are fleeing. People who don't even necessarily have money, but have whatever little money they have invested in a business or whatever, they're fleeing. So Karen Spilker wants free community college for everybody. And that will include illegals, by the way. Offering tuition-free community college to all would cost the state about $170 million per year. And it would be just woven right into the budget. Now, the House budget has already been revealed for the coming fiscal year. The Senate hasn't revealed its version yet. That's coming up in May. But the House version doesn't have this $170 million for free college for everybody. Doesn't have it in there. So that's going to be a bone of contention between the two branches, which means we probably won't get a budget for July 1st again this year. Spilker also has announced a proposal for a new public-private partnership to create more child care seats statewide. The program would provide matching funds up to 50% of the cost of each new child care seat an employer creates. Exactly how many seats that would involve and how much money that program will cost, she doesn't know at this point. But she wants to do it and wants you to pay for it. Spilker also issued what her office called a forceful call in support of Raise the Age legislation, which would gradually expand juvenile jurisdiction to include young adults between the ages of 18 and 20. In other words, offenders between the ages of 18 and 20 could no longer be tried as adults. They would have to be tried as juveniles in Massachusetts. Spilker's first two ideas were likely to carry substantial costs, says the State House News Service, at a time when revenues are lagging and her counterparts in the House are calling for fiscal responsibility. Now, let me tell you, the State House News Service is a left-wing news organization that you fund with your taxpayer money. So if they are appalled by Spilker's plans here, and they are, you can tell because this is a story, and this is supposed to be a straight news story, not a commentary, but they say Spilker's first two ideas are likely to carry substantial costs at a time when revenues are lagging and her counterparts in the House are calling for fiscal responsibility. See, that tells you right there, the State House News Service thinks she's nuts. And you probably agree. I know I do. 508-996-0500, you're next on WBSM. Thanks for hanging on.
Hello. Can you tell me, they're supposed to have a sober house coming on County Street in New Bedford. Do you know the address?
Never heard of it. Don't know anything about it.
Oh. Somebody called, because I heard, I couldn't call, you know, the morning show because they were talking about other stuff. But, no, you haven't heard about it.
Kind of like we're doing, right? Talking about other stuff?
Well, I don't know. I'm just curious because... Oh, it's okay.
All right. Thank you. No, I don't know anything about it. 508-996-0500. You're up next on WBSM. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon, Barry.
Hey.
Hey. You know, it's amazing how these people just spend the taxpayers' money. And, like, I totally agree with you. Mara Healey has enough problems in this state, but she's always worried about, you know, taking off someplace else. And bad enough, not only she's going, but then Michelle Wu's going, too.
Yeah.
It's like the audacity they have. These people have just... They just, one thing they, the only thing they really have is chutzpah, because they just are fleecing the taxpayers left, right, and center. And it's like, when will it end? We sit back and just take it. You know, just like Mayor Mitchell going to Israel. What the hell did he go to Israel for 4 days? I mean, really, you know, do you, I don't know if anyone knows, did the taxpayers of New Bedford pay for that trip, or did he pay for it out of his own pocket?
No, that was paid for by the various Jewish groups that sponsored the thing. So they made a point of saying that they didn't pay for it. But it's, that doesn't matter. I mean, if you want to deal with Israel's problems, that's fine and noble, and I'll have a great deal of respect for you. Resign your job as mayor. And as somebody who cares about the problems in New Bedford, be the mayor, and you could go off to Israel and deal with all of those issues. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, stay in your lane. While you're mayor, deal with New Bedford issues. When you leave the office of mayor, go to Israel and deal with those. And, you know, the thing with Mor Healy, obviously Mor Healy is now auditioning for a higher office, right? So what could she be thinking about? Maybe president or maybe Ed Markey's seat in the U.S. Senate? You know,
I have no idea. I just sent you an email because I get emails from Mass Fiscal, which is something I think a lot of your listeners, if you don't, you know, anyone listening, if you do not get emails from Mass Fiscal, you might want to sign up because they keep you abreast of what's going on in the state. So I recently got one. I just sent it to you about the Secretary of State that was appointed by Mara Healy, and her name is Monica Tibbetts-Nutt, and she is a nut, a huge nut. So she's talking about all this crazy stuff about, you know, people shouldn't have trucks or they shouldn't have SUVs. She wants to start charging to go over bridges, and she's going to use policy as a weapon. She says, oh, it's 100% I'll use it as a weapon. Once I say it, it's now policy. I have now weighed in. I mean, these people want to just absolutely control your lives. And can you imagine no trucks? So can you imagine all the companies that have trucks that use trucks to, you know, a home improvement company. They have to have
how about food delivery trucks?
The woman is insane.
How about home heating oil trucks?
Yeah, exactly. No, they're going to be electric.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Trucks. Yeah. I mean, but read the email I sent you because she is a nut. You know, definitely a nut. But, you know, people have to really wake up and they have to just, like I say this all the time, really get involved and really vote in. You know, everybody, please go and vote because we have, you know, there's a lot of school committee. And this starts right at the grassroots in every town and every city. It starts with school committees because they are doing some crazy stuff. In the Tri-Town, I don't know if I told you this, they spent $368,000 for this something SEL, emotional learning, that basically brainwashes, and it's propaganda and brainwashing of children, like in the first grade. So they're teaching them to be, you know, have feelings, and you can't talk about this, you can't. So basically what they're doing is turning them into a bunch of sissies. So they all just go with the flow. Nobody stands up for themselves. And, you know, that's happening in the schools. But you have to get involved in order to put an end to it. You have to vote in the conservative people who will say, no, you're not going to spend $368,000 for a five-year contract on this garbage.
Yeah.
You know,
I was proud to hear Bill Maher come out on Friday night and talk about cross-dressing, reading, essentially child sexual abuse. You know, and it's very difficult to ignore now. There were calls at one point about, you know, some of the kids that worked for the Disney Channel and everything that had been sexually abused physically and mentally. And then this whole big scandal just recently broke about Nickelodeon. And finally, Bill Maher came out on TV Friday night and said, you know, Ron DeSantis was right when he went after Disney. And he said, you know, these transgender and story times in the schools and everything else. He said, this is ridiculous. It's the same stuff. This is sexualizing our kids. And, you know, he said, look, you know, and he made an excellent point. He said, you know, so where the whole point of this, they argue to you, right? All of the transgender groups and the LGBTQ, that something's wrong with you if you don't want to put a transgender in your kindergarten to read to your kids because, well, we're supposed to teach kids how to be more accepting and more, you know, understanding of people that are different. He said, well, why don't they put people in wheelchairs in there to read to kids? And that blew me away. I mean, what logic? We don't have a handicapped story time in the libraries, a kid with people in wheelchairs, right? Why don't we do that?
Yeah. Why don't we put Marines in there and people who have served in the service? Why don't we put our veterans in to read to the kids so they can teach them about American values? Why aren't we teaching? You know, they don't teach anything in school anymore. They don't teach American history. They don't teach civics. They don't teach anything. So these kids, when they graduate from high school, they know nothing about history. They know nothing about their country. They know nothing about the Declaration of Independence. They know nothing about the Constitution. And that's what we all have to
do. No, but they know that Jews are bad and Jews need to die. That's what they know. And they get involved in rallies at Columbia and MIT and stuff like that. Because, they're easily led around by the noses because nobody bothered to teach them right from wrong.
Exactly. We're really living in historical times. I mean, it's just the stuff that goes on and continues to go on, to think that our Ivy League colleges and universities have such garbage as anti-Semitism. It's like, the 1930s all over again, and most of these kids protesting, they're not Muslims. They're white kids who belong to
the children of Democrats. The children of Democrats. I said in the first hour, we have finally pulled the curtain aside, and what we're seeing behind this, because we've been hearing for years now about this growing anti-Semitism in this country, and it's all the white supremacists that Donald Trump brought to the forefront with his MAGA movement. They're all MAGA people. They're all deplorables. All these. Well, guess what? Now we pull the curtain aside, and it seems as though the anti-Semites are Democrats. It's the Democrat Party, the same people that gave us the KKK and burning crosses on front lawns. Same people.
The progressive liberals. And like Michael Savage says, liberalism is a mental disorder. And you're seeing it right before your very eyes, how mentally deranged these people are, whether it's, reading to your children in libraries with all these transvestites, these crazy people. And it's not just the reading, but how about when they're dancing and they have all these things that are up over their butt and they're doing all these crazy moves in front of these young children? It's disgusting.
It turns them on.
Just like the filthy pornographic books they have in libraries that the American Library Association has approved, and they want these books because you have to have these books because of the kids' feelings, because they have to, if they associate with this lifestyle, they might be confused, and it's all, Don McCaig, I don't know if you ever knew Don McCaig, but he had a radio show on another station. He passed away in 1981, and he was a riot. Very smart man. He was Irish, a spitfire, and his whole show was like Feelings, and he used to play that song Feelings. He was funny, but he was so right. It's such a bunch of crapola.
And it's gotten worse. Thank you, Kathy. Got a hold of you. 508-996-0500. Break is next. Your calls and. Welcome back into the program. 146 is our time It's Monday, right? 508-996-0500. Oh, there was a great story I wanted to mention, too, about the Chinese. So much stuff. But apparently the president of... let's find it in here. So I make sure I get his name. It was 20 years ago today. There we go. Yeah, the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea slamming Joe Biden. Remember last week Joe Biden said that his Uncle Ambrose was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea. And then the military had to quickly walk it back and say it wasn't true. The Prime Minister, James Marape in New Guinea, not all that happy with Biden's statements. New Guinea is considered a key strategic ally in the tensions between the U.S. and China. And Prime Minister says, quote, President Biden's remarks may have been a slip of the tongue. However, my country does not deserve to be labeled as such. Nice image to be putting out there in the media of your allies that they are cannibals, right? Those people in New Guinea, a bunch of cannibals, they eat people. Oh, my God. An unofficial report from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection reveals that nearly 700 migrants from the People's Republic of China were apprehended entering the San Diego region in the third week of April. Since the fiscal year began in October, more than 26,000 migrants from the People's Republic of China have been apprehended. A Border Patrol source not authorized to speak to the media told Breitbart, Texas, the number of Chinese migrants apprehended represents a more than threefold increase from the same time last year. The source told Breitbart that China is now within the top 10 nationalities encountered by the Border Patrol along the southern border. The bulk of the Chinese nationals are released into the United States almost immediately. The source says, as China adamantly refuses to take their citizens back, we have only conducted one repatriation flight back to China recently, the source lamented. Until that changes, unless we have specific derogatory information about an individual we are releasing, there just is no other option. The agency remains baffled by the continued increase in Chinese migrant arrivals. Twice as many PRC nationals entered Southern California during the third week of April than the entire 2021 fiscal year, when a total of 342 nationals, Chinese nationals, were People's Republic of China nationals, were encountered by the Border Patrol along the entire southwest border. According to the source, intelligence debriefings yield little information about the migrants and their purpose for entering. The language barrier and the sheer volume of crossings and apprehensions is a major challenge, according to the source. FBI Director Christopher Wray warned last week national security and intelligence experts posing a serious threat. He says, and I quote, the PRC, People's Republic of China, has made it clear that it considers every sector that makes our society run as fair game in its bid to dominate on the world stage, and that its plan is to land low blows against civilian infrastructures to try and induce panic and break America's will to resist. According to the CBP source, the greatest risk to national security is not knowing fully who the migrants are and what their intentions may be. We want to focus on the threats posed by the government of China and not cast aspersions on all people of China, but governments are people. And at this point, the source added, we are in the dark concerning who is foe and who is friend. Nice going, Joe. Nice going. Nice going. So we don't know who these people are, and the government are missing. We have no idea who these people are, and China won't take them back, so we just release them into the country. There's a nice heads up to anybody from the People's Republic of China. You want to come here? Don't worry about it. We're going to catch you at the border. China's not doesn't want you back, so we'll just release you immediately into the country, and you can go to wherever you want. Go wherever you want. Taylor Cormier reported for us a few weeks back about a huge number of young, single male Chinese nationals selling homemade drugs out of Maine, in Maine. Remember that story he was telling us about? And Maine's just across the border here. At one point, Maine was part of Massachusetts. And this is why it's infuriating. You know, the mainstream, so-called mainstream Republicans who are actually Democrats in Republican clothing, blaming Marjorie Taylor Greene and others for the Republican Party falling apart. No, it's not them. They are trying to save us from the traitors in the Republican Party, like Mike Johnson, the Speaker. Marjorie Taylor Greene is trying to save us. She's one of the good ones. And you hear the rhinos in the House of Representatives. Well, it was Marjorie Taylor Greene and her ilk that cost us any border money. No, that's crap. That was Mike Johnson, because Mike Johnson made a number of promises that he would not support or even allowed to come up for a vote. Any legislation that sends foreign aid to Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, anybody, unless it takes care of the border crisis here. And he backed off. He lied. Thank goodness there are people like Marjorie Taylor Greene that are holding these people accountable and alerting the public to what's going on. Quick break. We're coming right back. 508-996.
Ooh, ain't got no home. I know a place to roam. Ain't got no home. I know a place to roam.
All right, welcome back. It is 1:58. Remember when the great late Rush Limbaugh used to do his homeless update, and he used to play that song. That was the intro to the homeless update. That was Clarence Frogman Henry. Ain't got no home. And anyway, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments today about whether cities have a right to dismantle 10 cities, homeless camps in cities. And, of course, we've seen these all over the country, right, particularly in places like California and other places, where these homeless camps are set up. And the Supreme Court is looking at, because a number of cities have had really enough of this kind of crap. And I mentioned I was out in Vegas about 2 weeks ago, and Vegas has actually moved the vagrants off of the streets and the overpasses. That was a huge problem. I mean, people, kind of like lying on the overpasses to the pedestrian walkways across Las Vegas Boulevard and just like urinating on themselves and begging people for money. I mean, it was a massive problem. And so you can't do that anymore. And so Vegas has gone out there. I don't know how they did it. I think the way they did it was to say that nobody can stop. Nobody is allowed to stop on a bridge or a walkway now, or even the sidewalks that going up and down Las Vegas Boulevard. So therefore, you cover everybody and you're not just targeting one group. So I'm not quite sure how this would be done, but I'm glad to see the Supreme Court is finally taking up this issue of these housing encampments and whether cities and towns actually have the authority.